There are times when all of us, and I mean all, need to have help to some degree or another. There's not a one of us here or anywhere that we are so self-contained that we don't need help. We look at a small child and we say, oh yes, the child needs help. It's so dependent on its mother, its parents, but especially its mother. We look at the other end of the age scale and look at the aged that are frail and feeble and incapacitated and can't get out and about, and we say, oh yes, they need help, all right. They're dependent on so many different bodies to help them. But in between, we fit in there. And yet, all of us, at different times, we need assistance. We need aid. In fact, the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ needs it. We learn that one of the gifts that the Lord gives to His Church carries that very name of help. I want to read to you from 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 28. And God has set some in the Church. First, apostles. Secondarily, prophets. Thirdly, teachers. After that, miracles. Then gifts of healings. Helps. Governments, diversities of tongues. Helps. Lots of people look at these gifts and say, oh, I wish I had that gift, or I wish I had the other gift. But there's not too many people ask for the gift of helps. Yet it's a gift that God has given to His Church. Why? Because the Church of Jesus Christ, and God knows it, needs help. And let me say to you tonight that there is that special help that comes from the Lord God Almighty Himself. We have an instance of it in Psalm 46 verse 1 where we're told, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. In another psalm, the psalmist says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. And we read in other parts of the Bible, for instance, in Hebrews 13, we actually read it this morning in one of the verses in the reading, whenever the preacher was preaching here, so that I may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. And in our reading tonight, we had it again. In 1 Samuel chapter 7 and the 12th verse, we read these words. Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shen, and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. The help of the Lord. And I want to talk to you for a short while tonight, on this our anniversary occasion, the help of the Lord. I want you to notice, first of all, the requirement for this help. There was a great requirement of it. There was a need for it. And if you're familiar with this passage, we didn't read the whole chapter, but it's all of a piece. I would heartily recommend you to read it in one sitting. But there were two factors with regard to the help of the Lord required. First of all, there was the action of God's people. Because of what they did, it showed us the help of the Lord was required. Now, what did they do? Notice verse 4. Then the children of Israel did put away Balaam and Ashtaroth and served the Lord only. What an act this was. These people were in sin. The children of Israel, God's covenant people, had turned away from serving Him and had embraced idolatry. And these were two deities, two names, Baal and Ashtaroth, that were well known throughout the Old Testament. And sadly, the children of Israel had been caught up in their worship at different times. The sin was idolatry, but the children of Israel now are turning away from that. They needed God's help. Notice the effects of this idolatry, this turning. Verse 6, and they gathered together to Mizpah, and drew water, and poured it out before the Lord, and fasted in that day, and said there, we have sinned against the Lord. Here was a people getting right with God. What great action there was. They were consecrating themselves, signified by the pouring out of the water, the drink offering. They were confessing their sin. What brought all of this about? Well, notice the second verse. It came to pass when the ark abode in Kirjath Jearim that the time was long, for it was 20 years, and all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. There comes a time, my dear friend, when materialism and pleasures and status and all the other things that people think go to make up their joys fail to satisfy. And there's a hankering, especially in the lives of God's people, who once knew the joys of serving the Lord, who once knew the joy of walking in close fellowship with the Lord. And whenever they lapse from that, or they may go on their way for a time, it may even be for years, but there comes a hungering again. There comes a yearning, a longing, just as it was for the children of Israel. And we are told that they lamented after the Lord. They realized that things were not right in their lives. And so they began to take this action and to make matters right with the Lord. And God's help was so obvious in all of this. And it was so in 1967 for many people associated with this church. They realized that the apostasy of the day was a grievous thing to God. And many of them were in churches where the gospel was not preached. And they heard the message of the gospel and the Bible preached clearly, and the doctrine of biblical separation, especially from Dr. Paisley in those days. It was through him that the country was aroused, and many, including many people in this town who got saved in 1967 in that mission and separated to form another congregation of the Free Presbyterian Church. But it took the help of the Lord to do it. It was not an easy thing for people to give up the church of their childhood or the church of their ancestry in order to take a stand for the honor of the Lord Jesus. But they did it. And others even did it before 1967 and had to go a distance to attend the nearest Free Presbyterian church that there would have been. And then in subsequent years to 1967. And we saw a mighty move of the Spirit of God with regard to this in the 70s. But the help of God was needed. Sometimes whenever somebody took the stand, they might even have been ostracized by their family. But God enabled them to do it. And then on the more important scale of a man or a woman turning away from sin, turning away from wickedness, and putting their faith in Christ. And whenever people may have been taunting them with religious names, those people took their stand and they became Christians. And they said farewell to the way of the world, to walk in its ways nevermore. They set their sight toward Christ and Calvary and began to walk the way of the cross. Help was required because of the action of the people. But not only because of the action of the people, but because of the aggression of the foe. Notice verse 7 and verse 10 of this chapter we're looking at. 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 7. And when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel were gathered together to Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. You can understand why. God's people were getting right with God, but there was a price to pay. Notice again the verse 10. And as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. Whenever the children of Israel were in the midst of the religious exercises, the people were seizing the advantage, taking advantage of them in the religious duty. There was aggression, but God's help was given. And some of you people here may well remember whenever you said you were going to be a Free Presbyterian in this town, how you were ostracized. I know that in the country at large, whenever people in those earlier days stepped out of the apostasy, they found that they were unsuccessful in job applications by virtue of the fact that they happened to associate with the Free Presbyterian Church. Whenever churches wanted to get planning permission, they were met by unfriendly responses from the planners and local government. And I know that the media was hostile. Those of us that have any memory of those days will know the terrible persecution that the Free Presbyterian Church and Dr. Paisley then endured. There was aggression by the foe, but praise God, his help was given. And no matter what our circumstances are today, we still need that help. And the Bible says we should come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And I wonder tonight, am I speaking to someone who's not a Christian? And you're thinking of this matter. You have seen what has happened here over the years. You have witnessed how God in his mercy, in his times of visitation of our congregation, in his times of spiritual awakening for us, has saved people. But you have not come to Christ. You have not responded. I want to say to you tonight, the goodness of God leadeth us to repentance. And God wants to help you. He wants to bring you to the Savior. This is why you're here. This is why the gospel is preached. This is why the message that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures and was buried and raised again the third day according to the Scriptures is preached constantly. God is helping you to see your need. He's removing the scales from your eyes. He's showing you the only Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And by His Spirit, He's wooing you. He's gently leading you and urging you and perhaps even striving with you to put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And even though the devil, the greatest aggressive foe of them all, is standing in your way, the Lord Jesus Christ is able to give you the victory. He has bruised Satan's head and he wants you tonight to come to him, and he's giving you every help that you might trust him as your Savior. The requirement of this help. But notice secondly, the bestowment of this help. Notice again verse 12. Then, notice that word then. Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shen and called the name of it saying, Ebenezer, saying, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. Help has been bestowed here. Now very quickly let me mention a number of things about it. There was a swift bestowment of it. That's why I emphasize that word then. Notice verse 10. And as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder in that day upon the Philistines and discomfited them, and they were smitten before them. Just as we have a habit of saying, in the nick of time. Now, God does delay sometimes. But whenever his time has come for him to act, he'll move very quickly. The Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple. Thou shalt arise and have mercy on Zion, for the time to favor her. Yea, the set time has come. And whenever that happens, God will move in a tremendous way. Whenever George Whitefield came to New England to preach the gospel, there were a couple of ministers there. And I remember reading this about them, that both of them said they saw more done in 1 week through the preaching of George Whitefield than both of them saw in the 20 years of their ministry in each of their churches. They were saved men, but God's time had come to move, and God's instrument was Whitefield, and God came suddenly and powerfully. And this is how he came to these people that were being persecuted by the Philistines. And in your need, my dear friend, let me say this to you. In your need, however long and drawn out it's been, when God's time comes to deliver you, there will be a rapid bestowing of that help that you require. You remember, those of you that were here in 67 onward, there was not a fixed place for this congregation to worship. It was the town hall, it was Temperance Hall, Henry Street Hall, and then the town hall, Corcoran Orange Hall, before we could get a fixed location here. But whenever it was time to build here, things began to move. And once the building started, it wasn't too long before this place was up. And within 5 to 7 years, even though we not only built the building here, but because of the growth of the Sunday school, we had to go into another major project for that assembly hall and the suite of rooms. Yet inside 5 to 7 years, all of the debt was paid off. The Lord had come rapidly and given us His help. It was a swift bestowment. It was a sweeping bestowment. Notice the wording. The Lord thundered upon them. He discomfited the Philistines. The Philistines were smitten before the children of Israel. It's all happening. It's sweeping. And all the help that God can give. And let me say this. It was a sufficient bestowment of help. Because if you notice verse 13, we are told, so the Philistines were subdued, and they came no more into the coast of Israel. And the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. Not only was it sufficient, but it was sustained. Samson had to contend with these Philistines. It was the Philistines that gouged out his eyes and incarcerated them. It was the Philistines who were the enemies of the people of God in that time of Samson. The Philistines were the plague of Saul during his reign, and Samuel as well. But here is a victory, and the victory was given in Samson's day. The victory was given in Samuel's day. The victory was given in David's day, because Goliath arose out of the ranks of the Philistines, and God used David to slay the Philistine giant. Oh, there's a history of the sustained help of God being given to His people. Ladies and gentlemen, let me say to you tonight, you and I look back. God has sustained that help to this congregation marvelously in its different ways throughout the year. God has kept it. When it was endangered, God has laid His hand upon it and preserved it. There has been a sustained and a sufficient and a sweeping and a swift bestowment of His help that we should recognize and be grateful for. But this help, this bestowment of the help was also sought, was prayed for. Notice these Philistines, or these children of Israel in verse 7 and 8. Notice the last part of verse 7. And when the children of Israel heard it, that is the Philistines coming up against them, when the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. And the children of Israel said to Samuel, cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, that He will save us out of the hand of the Philistines. Here was a people that realized the value of prayer and the worth of a praying man of God. And they cried to Samuel because they knew he was a mighty prayer warrior. Pray for us, Samuel. We're in great danger. And my dear friend, if we're going to get the help of God today, we need to be flooding our prayer meetings more. And whenever we do, we need to be crying mightily unto God more. Then we'll see the help of God coming. And did you notice the prayer was offered on the grounds of the shed blood of the sacrificial lamb? Notice verse 9. And Samuel took a sucking lamb and offered it for a burnt offering wholly unto the Lord. And Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel. And the Lord heard him. That's the way we come before the Lord in prayer. We can't come any other way but by Jesus Christ. There is no other grounds of our acceptance but Him and His precious blood. Remember that, even if we don't say it as such. Keep it in our minds. The only way that I can come to Christ or come to God is through the Lord Jesus Christ, crucified, and through the precious atoning blood that He shed on the cross at Calvary. And whatever help we have need of, oh, there are needs. We want to see these seats filled up to an overflow. We need to pray then. We want to see souls saved. We've got to cry like Samuel cried unto the Lord on the grounds of the sacrificial work of Christ. We want the overdraft to come down and out. We want it eradicated. We've got to pray. We want to see salvation come to men and women and girls and boys. Then pray, my dear friend. There's help available. And God is ready to bestow it. The help of the Lord. The requirement for it. We need it. And the bestowment of the help of the Lord. The Lord's the one that gives it. And then notice finally, the acknowledgement of the help of the Lord. Notice this 12th verse again. Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shechem, and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, "Hitherto hath the Lord helped us." Two things about this acknowledgement. First of all, it was a verbal acknowledgement. He spoke it out. He said it. Notice the word saying there. Saying, "Hitherto hath the Lord helped us." We should not be abashed one bit about telling what the Lord has done for us. We saw it last Sunday night. This poor man cried, the psalmist said, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. He also said in that psalm, "I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears." There's an acknowledgement of the help of God given. Psalm 26, 126, the returning captives from exile said, "When the Lord turned again our captivity, we were like men that dreamed. Then was our mouth filled with laughter. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad." What a testimony was born. They were simply acknowledging the help of the Lord. The psalmist tells us in Psalm 73, and if you're familiar with that 73rd Psalm, you realize he was in a very serious position. He thought his feet were going to leave him, that he was going to collapse altogether. And he says in the very first verse, "Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart." This is a tremendous thing, to give testimony to the Lord's greatness in our lives. The Apostle Paul said, "Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day." Do you let others know that the Lord has been good to you? That the Lord has helped you? Do you acknowledge it vocally, verbally? Not so much in standing here and giving your testimony how you were saved. Yes, that's included. But even if God has been particularly good to you, do you say, "The Lord has helped me. Up to now, the Lord has helped me." Let me cite it again. "Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue to this day." That's what the apostle was saying. Whenever that help began to come to him, when he got converted, throughout his long life of faithful service. And now he's standing before Agrippa, called to account because of the Jewish detractors that were hostile toward him. He's standing now, giving account of himself, and in the course of it, he's giving his testimony, and he's saying, "My God has not failed me. He has been with me and helped me continually." Let's not be ashamed to do that. Whenever Mary was singing her great song, whenever she went to visit Elizabeth, whenever she knew she was with child, she said in Luke chapter 1 and verse 49, "He that is mighty hath done great things to me." There was a vocal acknowledgement saying, "Hitherto hath the Lord helped me." But there was not only a vocal acknowledgement, there was a visible acknowledgement. Samuel, on behalf of the children of Israel, took this stone. Now, whatever kind of stone it is, I know not. May have been a big one, may not have been so big. A boulder of some kind, I imagine. And he erected it or placed it in a certain place. The Bible tells us there in that 12th verse between Mizpah and Shechem. And he gave it a name. He gave the stone the name Ebenezer. And then his explanation of that was, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. That stone was a visible acknowledgement of the children of Israel in that day to the mighty deliverance that God had given them from the Philistines when they were engaged in their religious exercises. The Philistines came upon them trying to take advantage of them, but God intervened with that mighty thunder and discomfited them and smote them so that they came back no more. They were overrun at that particular time. A visible acknowledgement. Whenever those people walked by, where Shen and Beth-Kar were, and looked at that stone, they could remember the days that Samuel cried unto the Lord on the basis of the sacrifice that had just been offered, the burnt offering that had his blood shed, which was a type of the Lord Jesus. They would have remembered and said, oh boy, what a deliverance God gave us. What help God gave us that day. What a day. And they would have told it to the little ones. And then by and by the little ones would have become bigger. And father and mother might have taken them to the hand and said, I want to show you this. And they would have gone to this memorial and say, you don't see much here, just a boulder. But that's called Ebenezer. Then they told the story again of Samuel and God answering prayer and acknowledging the help of the Lord. Then it was handed down throughout the centuries. And that was 3,000 years ago in war. Here we are talking about it tonight. A visible reminder. Remember the Passover. The night the animal was taken, the spotless lamb was killed. Its blood was taken and shed. And then it was applied to the doorposts and lintels of every Israelite dwelling. And because it was, the firstborn was spared when God was coming through in judgment. Year after year, they had to observe that. They took the animal and the unleavened bread and they ate of that and had their Passover occasion for some time. Every year, the 14th day of the month, right up to the time when Christ offered his sacrifice on the cross at Calvary. But centuries after centuries, there was a visible acknowledgement. Whenever they took the unleavened bread and partook of the Passover lamb, they remembered, even though some of them would not have been there, but it was handed down to them. They knew of the great deliverance, and they were acknowledging the Lord's help. 40 years or so later, after that first Passover, Joshua stood at the banks of the river that was in Spate. Jordan had bursted its banks in the time of harvest. And once again, God intervened. God told Joshua what to tell the host. Get the priests of the Ark of the Covenant, carrying the Ark of the Covenant, to stand in the midst of the river. Remember, the waters were overflowing the banks. The river was in Spate. Well, those priests made their way to the river. And as soon as they put their feet in, the waters moved away back. The riverbed dried. And the priests stood there with the Ark of the Covenant, and about 2 million, all of the children of Israel, made their way safely over Jordan. And then the Lord said to Joshua, take the stones, erect them here, so that whenever people are coming by and say, what mean ye by these stones? You'll be able to tell them how I made the rivers to part and the children of Israel went through into the promised land dry shod. Don't know how long those stones were there for. They would have been there for a long while. You tell the people what they mean when they see this pile of stones here. And then that night in which he was betrayed, the Savior of the world took bread. He took the wine, distributed it to the disciples, gave them the sign, this do in remembrance of me. And for nearly 2,000 years all over the world, born again believers who love the Lord Jesus Christ take the bread and the wine. And we've been doing it here for 36 years in this building. Every time the communion service is, and it's often, we're acknowledging the goodness of God to us among the other things the Lord wants us to do with regard to the communion service, especially remembering Him by eating and drinking. But by taking those emblems, you're reminded of what the Lord did for us. And we're saying as we partake of the Lord's Supper, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. Is this not an example for us, ladies and gentlemen? Just as Samuel that day led the children of Israel to erect a visible reminder of the help of the Lord and an acknowledgement of the Lord's help. It's only a thought. Could we as a church not do something either here in Portadown or some mission field of the earth or somewhere in Northern Ireland to do something to help somebody? That would be a reminder every time we would see it, whether in a picture or whether we pass by it. Some contribution of some kind for some Christian work. And that would be us raising our Ebenezer, our acknowledgement of the way the Lord has helped us as a church throughout the decades. My dear unseen friend with us tonight again, how glad we are that you're here. Your life can be an Ebenezer. Your life can be a stone, an acknowledgement. If you were to take Christ to be your Savior, the fact that your life would be transformed and turned right round, it would be telling all and sundry, my life is consecrated to the Lord. I'm following the Lord Jesus Christ because the Lord has helped me. He has saved my soul. He has made me His own. Would you not take Him as your Savior tonight and experience His help in a mighty way and then be a witness for Him? Let your life be an acknowledgement of that great work of salvation and the help of God in all your circumstances and affairs. Let me close with this. We've been thinking of the help of the Lord. That's been our subject for tonight. We've been looking back a little bit and looking forward a little bit. Let me say, this help of the Lord is still available. It's the supreme help. I started off tonight by saying there's not a one of us doesn't need help, and we do need the help of one another. We are to bear one another's burdens in the law, in the Lord, and so fulfill the law of Christ. But the greatest help of all we need is from Christ Himself. It's still available. Are you troubled tonight? Your burdens, cares, anxieties, sorrows, heartbreak? There's no light in your darkness yet. Well, I want to tell you, God's help is still available today. Like these people, will you apply for it? They said, Samuel, will you call on the Lord for us? You call on the Lord yourself. You can do that. You're a Christian. And other people, as much as you want them to know about your circumstances, they will call on the Lord for you as well. That help is still available, and it's still adequate for every situation. Call on Him. He'll help you. Ask the Savior to help you, comfort, strengthen, and keep you. He is willing to aid you. He will carry you through. My dear unconverted hearer, the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Will you call on Him tonight? His ears are open to that cry. He'll save you. What a night it will be for you.